Recording in progress.
Same two people, and they just, oh no, we're lost. Like, it's the same door four times.
So they moved over too?
They're not there yet. So, like there's so many things in statute that they have to protect information that they're still constructing the space.
Okay.
To be fully compliant. I pointed out another just over here making enemies. But, like, you can hear from one office. Shouldn't be able to hear each other even get, so like, when you first came in the door, if you look to the right, there's sign in and also extra packets so that you can follow along if you want.
All right, we will now call to order this evening's meeting of the Champaign County Mental Health Board, Wednesday, October 22nd, 2025, 5:45 p.m. in the Shields Carter Room of the Bennett Administrative Center, Urbana, Illinois. May I have a roll call?
Alejandro Gomez.
Present.
Chris Miner. Tony Nichols. Elaine Palencia. Kyle Patterson.
Here.
Emily Rodriguez.
Here.
Jane Sprandel. Jean-Paul Joachim.
Here.
Molly McClay.
Here. All right, we do have a quorum, so we can move on to approve the agenda. Is there any discussion, revisions to the agenda, or would anyone like to move to approve it?
I'll move to approve the agenda.
Thank you. May I have a second? We have a motion and a second. Any final discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of approving the agenda as presented, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. The ayes have it. The agenda is approved. Next, we will move to the 2025 schedules, the draft 2026 schedules, and draft PY27 allocation timeline. These are on pages 3-9 of the packet. No action is needed, but I believe there might be some updated information, so I will ask Lynn to talk about that.
I want to share the screen, too. Okay, so just the only update is we have, here's the 2025 schedule, so you can see that November is the next meeting here, but then we have two potential tentative meetings after that. Well, one is a study session, December 10, and then December 17 is a tentative meeting. Tentative because we might not need them, and then next week you can see that there's the joint study session and there's packets around for you. So the changes to 2026 just have to do with coordinating with the county for access to this room and the other room when we need it, and then also with the Developmental Disabilities Board. So this is not, the 2026 meeting schedule is not approved until you meet in January and approve the schedule, but it's included here for you to consider it. And then the timeline coordinates, the timeline for the next year and a half coordinates with that schedule. So these are just information only, but in January you'll approve the schedule of meetings, not the timeline. Okay.
All right. Any questions or discussion from the board on this? All right, seeing none, we will next move to CCMHB acronyms and glossary. These are on pages 10-21 of the packet. No action is needed. Lynn, are there any updates to these materials? There are not. Any questions or comments from board? All right, seeing none, we will next move on to public participation and agency input. So as always, we welcome members of the community to share their perspectives with the board. We cannot respond directly to public input, but we may use it to inform future decisions. And if you would like to make public input, you can do so in a number of ways, both online and in person. You can approach the podium to make a comment. We also have a little slips of paper that you can write a comment on. And then if you're online, you can put something in the chat to let us know that you want to speak, or you can raise your hand. If you are an agency representative or others providing input that might impact our actions, you should be aware of the Illinois Lobbyist Registration Act and take appropriate steps to be in compliance with the act. And lastly, I may limit individual time to 5 minutes and total time of this discussion to 20 minutes, but there will be another portion of public input at the end of the meeting. So with that, is there anybody who would like to make public input? everybody online. All right. Well, there will be opportunity to make public input later, so we will go ahead and move on. So our next item is other business, which is a closed session. So the board may move to enter into closed session for semi-annual closed session minutes review pursuant to 5 ILCS 120-2C21. The following individuals will join this closed session: members of the Champaign County Mental Health Board and Executive Director Lynn Canfield. If we approve that motion, those authorized will meet in the Putman Room. We'll move for roll call and discussion. And then when discussion ends, we will return to the Shields-Carter Room, and the board will call for a motion to return to open session with a new roll call, and then potentially make some make motions for recommended actions. So I have my fun closed session instructions that I get to do every 6 months or whatever. Lynn, is there anything to add?
We're gonna take longer to get there than we will probably take in there, and then longer to get back in. So I think it'll go really, really fast, but it'll be fun to test the new room.
All right. With that, I will move into closed session. May I have a second? We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, the motion on the table is to move into closed session. May I have a roll call?
Tony Nichols.
Here.
Yes.
Kyle Patterson.
Yes.
Emily Rodriguez.
Yes.
Jane Sprandl. Jean-Paul Joachim.
Abstain.
Molly McClay.
Yes. Did we get everyone?
Yes.
If you don't mind just putting it back over at the table, that would be, I think I'm going to get it.
All right, so the motion to move into closed session passes, so we will go ahead and move into closed session. So we will leave the open session recording going, and those of us who have been asked will go to the Putman Room.
Alejandro, I'm sorry. You can go back there too. Yes, you can go. I'm sorry. I didn't call your name.
basically a system set up that I designed with the city. People coming out of DDoS, they'll just come straight to me. I'll provide resources, pretty much provide an oasis for them, basically get them coordinated back in. Social workers, they need a social worker, coordinate them. Or as far as if they need any other resources, like credit repair, get them back, acclimated back into the community. Basically, I've made it an easier way to.
Gotcha. So you're not on the board. You're here to just learn about what, how we do, what we do, and how we.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Okay. Are you gonna, and the different programs as well, as far as with mental health and things like that. I know you guys offer a funding program, things yeah. like that. Just questions like that, or just as far as how the system works here in the city.
So you came to the right place.
Yeah. Good timing too.
At some point, you need to speak. We'll say, come right on over here.
Okay.
And just hit this button. And
you will begin to talk.
So it's just that green button.
Okay.
Well, there'll be a time and place for you to. Yeah. I think you had the first opportunity. You missed it. When he asked for public.
That's what I was wondering. I'm like, yeah.
So when they say agency input. At the end, there'll be another section at the very end.
What?
Agency input and participation. You can talk about your program and what you do. And yeah.
I don't know if you want. Are you going to be able to stay that long?
Yeah, I should be good. Are we covering the whole packet or
going through the packet?
Yeah.
We're not gonna go. I don't think we're gonna go line for line, but we're gonna.
Okay.
Go yeah. Skip packet. That's fine. Feel free to get you something to snack on.
Yeah. Let me.
Water.
All right. The time is 6:05 p.m. on Wednesday, October 22nd, 2025, in the Shields Carter Room of the Bennett Administrative Center, Urbana, Illinois. I move to return to open session. May I have a roll call? Or I guess I need a second first.
Second.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. May I have a roll call?
Alejandro Gomez.
Here.
Tony Nichols.
Here.
Kyle Patterson.
Here.
Emily Rodriguez.
Here.
Shane Sprindle. Jean-Paul Joachim.
Here.
Molly McClay.
Here.
Just who seconded that?
I did.
Tony.
Thank you, Tony.
All right. Thank you very much. And with that, I move to accept the February 19th, 2020, February 26th, 2020, and July 21st, 2021 closed session minutes as presented, and to continue maintaining them as closed. May I have a second? We have a second motion and a second, and we cannot have discussion, so we will have another roll call.
Kyle Patterson.
Here.
Emily Rodriguez.
Yes.
Jean-Paul Joachim.
Yes.
Alejandro Gomez.
Yes.
Molly McClay.
Yes. And with that, the motion to accept these closed session minutes as presented and continue maintaining them as closed is passes. So we can now move on to the next item on the agenda, which is the chairperson's comments. So I'm Molly McClay, the chair of the Champaign County Mental Health Board. Very grateful to have the opportunity at the past couple months to have some study sessions with community members about various different issues. We heard from some advocates with developmental disabilities, and we also heard from members of the LGBTQIA community about specific needs that the communities have that we could potentially support. And next week, on October 29th, we will have another study session on immigrant and refugee mental health, which I'm very excited for. And as a preview, I will be deferring chairmanship of that meeting to our former chair, Dr. Jean-Paul Joachim, to lead this conversation. So very excited about that. That concludes my comments. So we will now move to Executive Director Lynn Canfield's comments.
I think I'll have to make some comments throughout the meeting about some of the materials, so I'll just wait. But please enjoy snacks.
We have snacks. All right. Thank you very much. So next we can move to approve CCMHB board meeting minutes. These minutes are on pages 22 to 27 of the packet. Action is requested to approve the minutes of the CCMHB's September 17th, 2025 meeting and the CCDDB and CCMHB September 24th, 2025 joint study session. Any discussion, revisions, concerns? All right, we have a motion and a second. Any final discussion? All right, with that, all those in favor of approving the CCMHB's September 17th, 2025 meeting and CCDDB, CCMHB September 24th, 2025 joint study session minutes, say aye. All those opposed, same sign. The ayes have it, the minutes are approved. Next, we will move to the vendor invoice lists. These are on pages 28 through 41 of the packet, and action is requested regarding the acceptance of the vendor invoice lists. Any discussion, comments, concerns, or motions? All right. Any further discussion? All right, seeing none, all those in favor of accepting the vendor invoice list and placing them on file, say aye. All those opposed, same sign. The ayes have it, the vendor invoice lists are accepted and placed on file. So next we will move to old business. The only item of old business is the revised 2026 budget. This is on pages 42 through 66 of the packet, and there's a memorandum requesting approval of the revisions to the previously approved CCMHB budget and updated budget documents in the county presentations of the CCDDB, CCMHB, and IDDSI budgets are included as background. So I will ask Lynn to share a summary of things to consider and the changes, and then on page 43 of the packet is a suggested motion. So, Lynn, what do we have with the revised budget?
So this year, the revisions are not, this is actually the first time in a long time. They're not updated because of updated revenue projections. Revenue projections are the same as what we used originally. Despite the first set of projections that I got from the budget director are the same as the third set of projections that he came up with. So I missed the second set, which were downward. So we got lucky. But despite that, the mental health board revenue, total anticipated revenue, is a little higher because it also consists of the transfer from the developmental disabilities board for their share of all the administrative expenses. Administrative expenses did go up because the estimate of health insurance cost increase was very different from what we started with. It's a 30%, well, 29.8% increase in health insurance costs. That's, I think that our first estimate was like 15% or something, but it's a big jump that impacts what the DD board is responsible to pay to the mental health board for their share. But the reality is that we tend to underspend in the administrative side each year. Partly because not everyone takes the health insurance benefit, but they're entitled to it. So it's projected. It, like prior years, it might not all be used, but we'll get there. So anyway, results. The end result is that the mental health board budget is slightly higher because of that expense and then transfer. And then I had to make a lot of adjustments to make that work, to find room for that health insurance increase. And then I also had made a mistake in one of the lines that for computer services, I wasn't looking in the two different places that it currently gets recorded. It will be all recorded in one line next year. So I got it together. So it's really tiny, but wherever you see italics, that's an updated number. And that includes in the background documents, which are here and they're sideways. But you can see in the background document that each year we're paying, you know, the administrative expenses are less. And it's there's also this, we try not to touch contributions and grants. That is the line from which all of the agency allocations are drawn. Each year we try to add more money to it every time there's an increase in the projected revenues. But since there was no increase in the projected revenues and I had to make cuts from a lot of different lines, that line did go down a little bit too. But we're still okay for what we have budgeted. It's not a drastic change from this year. So anyway, that's enough. Okay.
Thank you very much, Lynn. And I just want to, like, it sounds like it was a lot of number crunching with that health insurance going up so much. So I just thank you very much for all of your work on that, because it sounds like it was not easy.
I mean, the math was easy. The thinking about what it might mean to people is hard.
All components of that.
And I did update the projections too. The first version of these budgets that you already approved back in July did not have, like, as you know, obviously the information about actual expenses gets better the more you spend. So here we are in October with a little bit more clarity about projections. And that was really interesting for me. And again, I'm talking too much. Okay.
Thank you very much. Any discussion from the board, or is anyone ready to make a motion that may be available on page 43?
Is there a second? Oh. Okay.
Nobody made a motion.
Oh.
I can go ahead and move to approve the attached revised 2026 CCMHB budget with anticipated revenues and expenditures of $7,410,462. Have a second. We have multiple seconds. Any final discussion? All right, seeing none, the motion has been clearly stated. May we have a roll call?
Kyle Patterson. Emily Rodriguez.
Yes.
John Paul Joachim.
Yes.
Alejandro Gomez.
Yes.
Tony Nichols.
Yes.
Molly McClay.
Yes. And with that, the motion passes. We will next move to new business, and this item is on draft revisions to CCMHB funding requirements. These are on pages 67 through 87, and for our information, our draft revised CCMHB requirements and guidelines for allocations of funds, and a briefing memorandum on the proposed changes. So, Lynn, would you share more about that with us?
There are no changes to the processes. I know the processes have been really difficult for, especially for the Mental Health Board to implement because they're real involved. We didn't touch any of that. This is all motivated by input that Chris Wilson, the financial manager, received from people working on audits on behalf of the agencies. So there were a couple of things that they could no longer do. And then there's one thing that we've already changed in the contracts, which is, so there's bullet points. Updating the current contract language, updating to match the current contract language, because the standard for a limit on capital expenditures is actually 2,500, and that's what's in the contracts, but the funding guidelines had not been updated with that. So that's one separate thing. Then there were minor changes that I found that just clarified by moving the words around a little bit. And then adding a reminder, this was something Chris suggested, a reminder about the budgets that you approve in the beginning with applications are the contract. So any changes made from that need to go through the contract process. So we added that. And then here's the add these words, or as a separate report per agreed upon procedure agreement. That's what the CPA firms really needed us to do. So that was like directly from them. And then the second thing they needed us to do was to move a whole section so that it was clear that it applied to audits and financial reviews and compilations and not just audits. So that's everything that's changed is highlighted in green in the packet that you can see the green online. We are not asking you to make a decision on this today because we need to give it some air, like for public comment and for y'all to look at and think about. We'll bring it back in November. If there are any additional revisions, we'll tell you. But this is, it's very light.
Okay, so we will vote on this later. Okay, and when did you say November or after that?
It'd be good to vote on it in November just for, because this is part of the application for funding. So when agencies are asking for money from you, it's good for us to be as clear as we can about what they'll be expected to do later. Even though these are real minor changes, I still think it's important to have it. Yeah, anyway, okay, if we can.
That sounds good. So if anybody does have comments now, that would be great to know, or you can send comments to Lynn outside of the meeting as well, so that hopefully we can vote on it in November. Is there any board discussion on this matter?
I guess one thing, if we're thinking about the future, don't like to predict the future, but you know, obviously we do need to increase the capital expenditure limit. The value of the dollar is going to decrease in the next year. There's going to be a lot of inflation. The other thing is energy prices are going to skyrocket next year because we're going to be exporting natural gas more. We're decreasing or taking away the subsidies for solar and wind, and then AI data centers are being created everywhere and in sucking up a lot of energy expenditure. And it's not an elastic system, so energy prices are going to go up next year. So I don't know if agencies, how much of that accounts for their bill, for their costs. So if that's something that might have to be addressed, I don't know, like the Don Moyer Boys and Girls Club, how much they spend on their heat and electric bill.
So for clarification, it might, if it doesn't appear specifically in the funding guidelines, like if there's not, if it doesn't appear specifically, it's possible that what you're talking about, we could use the amendment process. Is that what, like, because these changes could happen.
There might be surprise bills next
like,
year.
Like, right, like, yeah. Before their
obviously,
next.
Obviously, a lot of us have higher heating prices this last month or two.
Gotcha.
And I'm sure they're also experiencing that.
Okay.
If they have buildings that they have to keep cold or hot. So their costs may go up. So I guess they'll just ask for more money next year.
Well, I'm actually really glad you're saying it because they might need it now. They might need it before July 1st. So that you're talking about like changing budgeted amounts to match the reality that may be coming sooner than July 1st.
I mean, I think just making some writing in there that there might be some allocation for funds to cover those kind of costs if need be. I don't know. Or just some way to kind of address that if that starts to become an issue. I mean, you can talk to the agencies. You have more direct contact with them if that's an issue that they're starting to see. But something to think about.
So, you know, we showed you a first draft of priorities last month, and that's going to come back to you for a final review next month. So would that be a good? I could see adding it to there quite easily.
Yeah, I think just having that in writing somewhere so that there's more flexibility for staff.
John, are you saying that would come from the extra that's in the black, like the 300,000 that we have extra for the year?
Yeah, I mean, that if we need to. Otherwise, if there's funds that are not used by the agency, they don't have to use it for specific things list. Like they say in the application that they're using it, the money's going to hire a certain employee. Well, if they can't fill that spot but they have extra costs, they can use the money that they've gotten not for everything that they stated in the application, right? It can be used for other things that they didn't.
They have to ask for permission.
Okay.
And it's really... It is a little bit of an intensive process for Mr. Bryson and sometimes for me too. But that's the current process. If you need to change the way you're using money, and like you guys remember, the change in costs of audits. Like, so that's one example. Like, people can just tell us, oh my gosh, the audit is costing $30,000 instead of 18, and then they can reallocate it. So as far as any surplus revenues that the board has in its fund, that would not be easily available for reallocation to agencies, especially because the board didn't have adequate fund balance this summer when we were waiting for the first distribution of property tax revenues. So we have kind of a high fund balance goal of like half of operating costs, which is very high. Like, that's much higher than the county board's fund balance goal. But we can't pay anybody on their contracts until money comes in. So anyway, that would be the reason not to spend that $320,000 that you see projected as a surplus. And there's a process if an agency needs to ask for more money than they got. That's like that does need a full board discussion. Like, because it's outside of the allocation approval period.
So I guess putting in writing some way to be able to allocate funding for increased energy expenditures, you know, costs.
So the funding guidelines already describe the process for asking to move money to a different expense because it happens.
Yeah. So you're okay with just having to go through that process if that starts happening?
I think that we have to because the contracts that you're developing and signing are for one set of things. So if it changes, even if it's a change that we all
understand,
it's inevitable. What you're saying is inevitable. That is really going to happen. I think we still need to approve it.
Go through the steps and yeah.
We might as well start working on it.
To summarize, because it kind of sounds like there's two issues being discussed. One is if an agency wants to reallocate something that's been allocated to them for one thing reallocate it to a different thing, that goes through like a process with the office that's already stated in these guidelines. If we wanted to, if an agency wanted to ask for more money than they received for this issue or another issue, they would need to like come to the full board for approval, or we would need to create some kind of second allocation process, which if we're, it would be a lot of steps.
It's hard to make that fair. So, you know, we don't do it normally, but I mean, this is your money and you can do things with it. So we have to, as staff, we have to support you as best we can. I think that Dr. Joachim is right, that we are coming into a time of like very compelling multiple requests. Like that's maybe just the beginning. Yeah.
And there's also the option of setting in the priorities for PY27 a little bit more about this to make it known that, like, if the board decides that this is something that we want to emphasize or prioritize for the next allocation cycle, then we can have that in the priorities. So there's like different approaches to it, but I think the process for reallocating funds from one area to another within what's already been allocated, that process is detailed and in working.
Like I think, like you're suggesting we need to revisit the process to make it easier, and
as long as it is easy and not time. Too time consuming for staff. I understand you guys have a lot that you guys do, so I just want to make sure that we're just forward thinking. That's all.
It's a really interesting question. I'll be up all night thinking about this one.
That's what I'm trying to avoid.
No, it's good. It's really it's important. But so I think we'll figure out some way to express this concern. But okay.
Thank you.
And just keep it on the radar. That's all. Yeah. You know.
Any other discussion from the board on this? All right, seeing none, we can next move on to reports. So first we have staff reports on pages 88 through 108. And we have reports from all staff members for this one. So any discussion or questions from the board about the staff reports? I did have two questions. The first one is I saw in some of the staff reports a mention of delayed fourth quarter reports. Have those issues been addressed yet? Are we deferring to Mr. Bryson?
We have all but maybe one agency's reports, and that's due to the executive director being sick. But otherwise, all of our agencies, MHB agencies, have done a tremendous job with getting their data to us, their reports to us. So,
well, God. Amazing to hear, and I hope that the director of that agency feels better soon. My other question was, I can't remember which all staff reports mentioned this, but I understand there was a discussion with the School of Social Work about a potential like leadership programming that agencies could potentially be involved with. I wanted to see if anybody on the staff would be willing to share more about that.
So to some, there are not all of us are involved in this discussion yet, because to me, it seemed like a dream come true, but I need other people maybe with more critical eyes to weigh in on it. But the School of Social Work and the Illinois Leadership Center have proposed a series of 8 workshops for 2026 that would be open to the public at no cost. It's like focused on agency leadership, but by leadership they mean like everyone, you know, who cares, so, which is lovely. They actually proposed it to us and some other local funders, and we were like, no, 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 we love this. But now I'm actually, before we make a commitment, ran it past a couple other staff to see if I'm wrong. Some of the topics might be too general. I did ask if they could. I understand that no one wants to attend a session on financial record keeping. Like, we put money into those and no one shows up. But so I said, well, could you just mention it? Like, maybe at all these other sessions, just that it's so important, even though it might be boring. And they said they would try to work it in. So I think it's great. And we already have this monthly educational opportunity series that Kim Bowdry's been hosting for years, and it's pretty successful, and she knows how to do it. So provided the rest of the team likes it, it's not expensive. It's like it is well within the budget that you have just approved, and it would substitute for some of the workshops that Kim has hosted so that we're not overwhelming people. But I was very excited about it. Okay.
Thank you very much. I am excited about it as well. Are there any other comments, questions from board members on the staff reports? All right, seeing none, we can next move on to our next update, which is from the Evaluation Capacity Building Project. So we have an oral update from the team. And there's also, as always, a link to the microlearning videos, including in the packet for your information. So we are excited to hear your updates.
Well, happy hump day, everybody. Excited to be here. We've been very busy this last month. Our technical assistance is going well with the different agencies. But this past month, we actually had a workshop on storytelling. So it was a workshop in which we solicited input from potential participants and based the structure of the workshop on that input. So we had a dozen staff from 11 different programs attend that workshop. It was an hour and a half long. And part of the input was to talk about exigency, which means communicating the urgency and the reasons of why you're doing what you're doing. So not just saying why it's important, but why it's important now. And so communicating that and helping them figure out how to communicate that to different audiences, inventorying the different audiences that they are interested in communicating their information to, so funders, taxpayers, potential clients, current clients, and so forth. And so working through that and the types of messaging that you might want to have for the different types of audiences, as well as considering the ordering in which you present information so it has the correct flow. And I have a picture to show you, if you'd like to see it, about they're working on these different activities. So we had both information sharing and definitions, and then we actually had activities in which they were engaged. And here's a picture of them taking pieces of a report, which we de-identified, and reordering it or ordering it in ways that made sense to them to talk about the differences of what do you place where to communicate best to your different audiences. So active participation in four different activities. And the feedback that we received on our exit survey was that they gained a lot from all the different components. And then we also asked about future microlearnings and future workshops. So we'll be utilizing that information to design those as we move forward. Another fun thing that we've done is created yet another microlearning. And I'm going to show it to you right now. And this microlearning has to do with reporting. And I will let it speak for itself because it's quite entertaining. Wait, I forgot to do share sound. All right, you're ready. Here we go.
In this video about outcomes reporting, we are going to discuss the importance of avoiding under and over reporting. One fundamental principle of effective evaluation is accuracy in reporting outcomes. An accurate account of outcomes allows you to track realistic progress toward goals, make needed adjustments so as not to overpromise and underdeliver. Think critically about what your program is doing well and how to sustain it, and identify potential areas for improvement. One common tendency in outcomes reporting is to avoid reporting null or unexpected outcomes. We recognize that reporting these types of outcomes may be scary, especially when agencies are concerned that funding is tied to performance. But your funder most likely knows when reports have some of the common symptoms of avoiding null or unexpected outcomes, like omissions of important information, unnecessary information that distracts or makes excuses, overinflated results, and a lack of context that does not fully explain the why undergirding outcomes. Consider the example of a weather reporter. Even with bad news, like continued rain after an already rainy week, there is often relevant context for that report that can alter the evaluations one can make. Welcome, weather watchers. I realize that it's been raining for the past week, and one hallmark of rain is a drop in barometric pressure. But our barometric pressure could be on its way back up. Plus, I see what might be some sunny clouds off in the distance. And with the dip in the wind speed, plus, you know, last week was super nice. So, I'm sorry to cut in. So, is it raining right now? It's important to consider this beautiful above average temperature. But what about, okay, it's raining. Is there any other information that can explain the patterns we are experiencing? What about the drought last month? Isn't the total amount of rain this month about typical for this time of year? That's definitely important context. Notice the different ways the reporter tries to avoid acknowledging a seemingly unpleasant outcome. Our barometric pressure could be on its way back up, is unreasonably optimistic speculation. While the fact that last week was super nice is distracting unnecessary information, that's beside the point. The reporter's statement, "I'm seeing what might be sunny clouds in the distance," is a form of sugarcoating that omits the most important fact. It's raining. These avoidance tactics are an issue because acknowledging seemingly unpleasant outcomes can be very valuable. Understanding why null or unexpected outcomes have occurred helps tell the full story about your program. They may provide context, like more time is needed to observe changes in knowledge, attitudes, and behaviors, or they may offer insights into programmatic changes. Grappling with these outcomes is a great way to learn about the program and move closer to continuous quality improvement. Spoiler alert, most funders want grantees to be successful and to help them succeed. But without the full and accurate story, they cannot help in meaningful ways. Here are some key takeaways when faced with reporting what seem like outcomes that do not align with your program's goals or planned benchmarks. First, do not be hesitant to report outcomes accurately. What might seem initially like a negative outcome is valuable for learning about your program. Second, provide additional information in the report to help explain the context of the outcome. Finally, reflect on other considerations like timing. Is it still too early to see a particular outcome, or is the outcome in some way expected? Participation. Is the program still working to find its target population? Or resources. Whether finances, infrastructure, or staffing, is more support needed to effectively run the program's activities? Consider alignment. Are your expected outcomes aligned with your program activities? Look at your program's logic model. Its inputs, outputs, and outcomes to determine if adjustments are needed. Thank you for watching.
So we welcome comments, feedback, and a shout out to Nate Underland, who is the actor and also scripted it and made it a reality. So.
Any comments or questions from board? I wanted to share that it sounds like the storytelling workshop went really well and very important topic. And I also appreciate, like, because I believe the last microlearning you showed, like, also kind of had, like, the weather theme. So I think, like, in terms of for folks to understand the process, like, having this kind of continuous metaphor through the different videos about outcomes, and weather is, like, a very it's an example that everybody can relate to also. So that was very clever. And the way that he was avoiding saying it was raining was just very humorous.
Right. Well, thank you for that. And also, so last month we showed the other video to the Developmental Disability Board, and someone in there, where we were talking about avoiding a data dump and use the data that you need to tell the story, was like, well, what if they're going to be selective or cherry picking? We're like, well, actually, we're going to have a tell it like it is video. So this one really applied and gave that additional component of, you don't just cherry pick and you do tell the full story, but making sure that you do it in a way that other people can understand and helps your program.
Very good, important question about the cherry picking thing, and like kind of thinking more about different ways to think about this as sort of moving toward, like, what is kind of the ideal way to report outcomes that sort of doesn't go too far in either direction. Any other comments or questions from the board? All right, seeing none, thank you so much for the update, and we look forward to hearing the next one.
Thank you very much.
All right, we will next move on. So the Community Behavioral Health Needs Assessment Activities report has been deferred for the evening. So we will now move to the Disability Resource Expo update. And there's a little bit of info on pages 109 through 110. There will be an oral update provided. Lynn, what is the update?
Well, I think that we have some people here who were there on Saturday who might want to talk about it. And also Kim Bowdry and Chandra probably have, you guys have comments? Okay. Is that okay? I'm going to defer my own comments to other people.
Yes. Whoever on the staff would like to speak first, please go ahead.
Okay, I was going to defer to Kim
first.
Good
evening,
everyone. That's what I said. I was going to let you talk first.
I think
first,
we both
Kim.
Were waiting each other out. Okay, thank you, Chandra. I'm sorry. We were both waiting each other out. Well, good evening, everyone. I think overall the event went well. Of course, there was hiccups along the way, and I think what we need to do now that it's over is really focus on what we can do in the future. If we do another expo, how can we circumvent these hiccups, and what should we do to make sure that things go more smoothly in the future? But it was a lovely event. I think it was fairly well attended. We had a decent number of people that came out. It's always hard to gauge the actual attendance of those events because it's at the mall. So we get a lot of people that are there shopping and may stop by and visit some exhibitors. So that part is something that we do need to address. Of course, it was raining, so I think that affected our attendance as well. But overall, I think it went well. And figuring out, you know, what do we do from here is what we need to focus on now.
All right. Thank you very much. Sean, you want to add on?
Yes, I will add on. There was a shuttle service, and that was probably my favorite thing, to be outside the whole time. So that was, I said that's going to be my spot forever. But one of the things that we just are going to have to do, just kind of piggying back on Kim, is to make sure that it gets communicated and advertised clearly. But we're not going to have to worry about it anymore because we can't be out at the mall again. And Lynn will talk to us about that later. Just because of some safety issues and safety concerns. But for the most part, we had good feedback about the shuttle being there. It should have ran a bit more often, probably, than every half hour on the hour, because it was like a person would come and then would have to wait an entire hour. So they were like, I'll just walk over there. And I just let them walk over there. And so that was fine. We had a police officer that was present to help with traffic the entire time. And so that was also something that we had put in place for. They were there the entire time, which was nice to help. And I know the officer helped probably one person over, but that's a long time for that. I think the biggest thing, or if I could say like the biggest takeaway, and I'll be honest about this, is the load in and the load out. And our capacity as staff, just being able to load all of that stuff in and load all of that out. And so I've been doing this for about 14 years. So I have seen it evolve. It's definitely evolved from the beginning, but it's still the same people that's loading and unloading the things. And 14 years ago is not the same 14 years today body. You know, it's just different. So people just have to be like kind of mindful of that. And us not having capacity to do that because we had to load on Monday instead of on that Saturday. And so just kind of learning how can we make that a little bit different is one thing. And then also just the energy connected to all of the high energy and emotions, because people are tired, you know, after a certain amount of time. So just trying to learn about how we navigate that and support that. But I will say the largest impact is the fact that we are hosting a disability resource expo with people living with disabilities at the core planning of it. That is something very different. It's a lot of able-bodied people that plan these events and may get a person living with disabilities as a consult, but not actually them being a part of the planning. And so that's what I think is probably the biggest empowerment. And it also can be a barrier too, because they do not have the ability to load in and load out in the same way. So that can also be a challenge as well. So it's just making sure the infrastructure gets a bit more able to hold this event in the way that we're doing it now. And now Lynn can say what she's going to say.
I wasn't going to comment, but you created a wonderful segue, and I don't want to you were there and you want to say things about it too. I don't want to be negative. I was thinking that we need to wait a week so that we get some sleep and get over the feelings, but I would like to add to the final comment that Chandra made that the people who plan the expo don't have every disability. So there are some things we had some complaints about, ways that the expo is not accessible. And one of them really hit home for me because I have some kind of sensory processing issue, which makes me unable to survive being in a mall for more than 20 minutes. So when I park myself there for 5 hours once a year, it shouldn't be a surprise to me that I'm just blacked out for the rest of the weekend, because it's maybe it's just binocular coordination or something, but it's real, and it's, I've had it all my life, and we did have a lot of complaints about this is not a sensory friendly or fully accessible expo, and I think like being there in that capacity and having done this 16 times with, you know, the planning is done by people who have developmental disabilities and physical disabilities, a really different set of concerns and a different kind of stigma that they experience every day in this world. So it seems like after 16 years, I should have some better solutions to these persistent problems to it. But one thing I don't think we can solve is to make it fully accessible for every person. People with anxiety have no business out there. Like, it is not survivable if you have anxiety. And people with whatever sensory processing issue I have or similar, it just know that it's going to be draining. So I think we might need to explore multiple formats for this project if we're really going to do better. So anyway, it's kind of, it's something we have to figure out, and we've had a lot of time in it. So if certain aspects are not getting better, that's on me, and I'm sorry, and I need to get some sleep and not feel so bad about it. So maybe next week. Okay.
That did not help that we, having this meeting now, did not give you a full week or more to, like, recoup before having to talk about it again.
It's not time for us to start planning the next one. It's just time to be honest about some of the things that never go very well, and that doesn't mean we shouldn't work on them. We do need to change some things to make it better. There were some huge successes this year. We can talk about the great stuff next time.
Are there any board members who are there, or those who weren't? Anybody want to make any comments or ask questions? Yeah, I guess should we have this now or during the public input? I guess the public input is about to happen. Yeah. So we will go ahead and invite you to speak at in just a moment. Any other comments or questions from the board?
It was a good event. I just want, I want to say that too. It's always a good time.
And I know we usually, there's usually data that comes later that talks about kind of how many people attended and what people said,
And for the record, I want to make sure I'm communicating that it was a good event.
Thank you very much for sharing that.
It was. Thank you.
All right. Any other comments from the board? All right, we'll see none. We can move to the PY 2025 MHB utilization summaries on pages 111 to 122 of the packet. For information only, as a report summarizing the utilization results of programs funded by the MHB during PY 2025. Lynn, is there anything or anyone you want to designate who wants to share?
I do. Since we're on the subject of being honest, and I just want to show some gratitude, and I want to thank each agency for reporting their quarterly data on time, because that helps us get our work done, but more significantly, for providing feedback in the report's comment sections. The feedback helps to paint a clear picture of what's going on inside the program. And so it goes beyond just the numbers in which you're seeing. So the utilization summary is just a comprehensive report and can be utilized or used to assess the program's performance and productivity. And it may even highlight some areas for improvement. So comprehensive, a lot of work was done, took a lot of time to put this together, thanks to Ms. Canfield and myself. But more importantly, thank you to the agencies for the outstanding work that they've done. Also, Ms. Canfield pointed out to me on page 122, at the bottom, there's a note, and I'll just read it real brief, quickly. In memory of Terrapins founder Nelson K. Novak, who leveraged his own creativity, genius, and recovery to support others. Nelson was the executive director for Terrapin and has passed on, so...
Thank you both for mentioning that. I had actually missed that on there, so I'm really glad you pointed it out. And just want to thank you both and all the staff for your work on this. And I agree, Leon, with the comment that the agencies have done a phenomenal job with their reporting and they're sharing what's happening within the programs. I feel very lucky to be a part of this board where we have the opportunity to support all of these programs that are just doing this phenomenal work, especially right now. So those are my comments about it. Any discussion from the board about these summaries?
Can we just take a note to look at Promise Healthcare and how well they've done? Like, they had a target of 1,000 treatment plan clients for their mental health services, and they had 2,615 that their psychiatrists are prescribing medications for. They had a non-treatment plan client of 900, and they saw 4,218 where the psych meds are going through are being prescribed by the general physician. And so, like, the amount of patients they're seeing and providing psychiatric services is like, that is a godsend. So I've actually sent kids there because we didn't have access and they needed more than I can give them, the more tools in the toolbox than I could use. And so they would get them in within like a week or two. It, like, their access is really good. It's awesome. And I've had a lot of families have good experiences with Promise Healthcare. So
that is wonderful to hear. Thank you so much. Any other comments from the board? All right, seeing none, we will next move on to public participation agency input. And I believe we have someone who wants to share some input with us. So as I mentioned earlier, we cannot respond directly to public input, but we will consider it for future decisions, actions we may make. So, and this goes for anybody who's in person or online, you can, raise your hand in the Zoom, put something in the chat, come forward or fill out a comment card back there if you want to speak with us. And I may limit time to 5 minutes for each individual, total time to 20. So with that, is there anybody who would like to make public input?
Hey, how you doing? My name is Marcellus Williams with Legacy Way Foundation. As far as with, we work with clients from different fields in the mental health, and as far as facilities across as far as the state. Since I've been back in Central Illinois, I kind of seen the need. And as far as that percentage, as far as that in between transitioning from detox centers to different facilities, I do see that there's a kind of a leak as far as with the clientele, kind of seeping back into the community and kind of still looking potentially, though, we want to get those ones that are potentially looking for a change, and we want to target as far as percentage of the population that we want to minimize that percentage that's, in the community that are still looking for as far as that structured environment, or as far as not getting it from those other facilities or detox, centers. They have, as far as some options to go to as far as in this facility, and that I believe Legacy Way can provide that. Not just Central Illinois, but Southern as well. But.
All right. Thank you very much for your comments. there's someone online who would like to make a comment as well.
Cindy Crawford.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for everything. I just wanted to make a couple comments. One is that we participated in the Disability Expo, and it was excellent. We've participated for a number of years, and I always feel like it runs like a well-oiled machine. So thank you for all your hard work. We had lots of people stop by our table, and we were real happy to be able to interact with them. The other thing that I just wanted to give you kind of a heads up, I'm sure you're all aware of this, you watch the news, but one of the things that we're facing, and we're not alone, but we've had our FEMA EFSP funds paused for this year, and we don't know if they're going to be unpaused. That's $9,500 out of my food budget for the pantry. And then we're also facing USDA commodities being cut pretty significantly, and specifically meat. So, you know, you guys, we all go to the grocery store, and so that's one of the biggest expenses. So, and again, we're not the only agency facing some headwinds. We also, of course, are all watching what's going to happen with SNAP as of November 1st. So at any rate, I just really wanted to say how much we appreciate the Mental Health Board and all the support we've gotten through the years, and we just really appreciate all you do. So thank you.
Thank you so much for all you do and for sharing that with us. Any other public input? Anyone else online?
Are you all leaving? Okay. Do you want to come up? Would you like to come up and sit next to Mr. Williams?
You gonna say where you went this Saturday? To the Disability Expo?
There was so many great communities and such great artwork.
Yes. So we went to the Disability Expo, and we went around and saw so many resources available. And talk about the artwork that you got. You got the resin thing.
I got some little resin stars.
And some Dungeons and Dragons dice.
And dice.
And saw dragons.
And saw dragons.
And what'd you get put on your face?
Face paint.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I'll say I've gone to the Disability Expo ever since I've moved here, and I have two children that utilize a lot of services in this community, and every year I'm blown away by how many additional resources I didn't know about and can learn about at the Disability Expo. So we just wanted to share a little bit about our experience. We take our whole family there, and there's lots for everybody. Even if you have children there, they fill them with lots of toys and candy. But also a lot of knowledge of what's available. And you could even pet different animals that were there as well. So there was a lot for everybody.
Also, there was a lot. Well, there was so much candy, one of our bags almost busted open.
Right. Okay. Say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your comments. I'm glad that you had a good time. Any other comments online or in person?
We have applause from the audience.
We have so applause nice. From online. We've had good public input tonight. All right. Well, we can next move on to board-to-board reports. As always, board members can serve as liaisons to agency and community boards. And if you're interested in how to do that, you can talk to Stephanie Howard-Gallo and or you can talk to me and Lynn about it, too. Are there any board-to-board reports this evening? All right. Okay, seeing none, we will move to county board input. Do we have any input from the county board?
Yeah, I just wanted to note, we're wrapping up our budget drafting process, and I've said from, I don't know, I feel like every time I speak, I say like we have no money. We've done something unique this time around to pass this budget. We've dipped into fund balance, like the recommended reserve is like 16%, and we are right at now 16%. So, I mean, we've had to cut into that balance, I guess, just to make ends meet. Just so you know, that's what's going on.
Thank you very much for that update. Incredibly stressful. Next, we have Champaign County Developmental Disabilities Board input. Is there any input from the DD board?
They met this morning. Their meetings are super interesting. You might want to watch them, the archived recordings. They had a really passionate discussion. Touched on some of this, like the threats are so many and sort of fast-moving and very severe that we don't really know what to do next, but agencies are providing some helpful perspective, really similar to your, I believe, this projection of energy costs. So it's very similar to that. So that was one thing. The other, like the most important thing, is they did approve the budget changes, including, you know, the fact that their share went up quite a bit, and then, like, you know, why that's probably not, they're probably not going to end up having to pay that much, but, and you won't either, but it's just, anyway, so that was the whole, that was really it. I think they're about to help me. I can't do resolutions. I really don't know how to do that. I tried to for their meeting today, but I failed. So they're going to help me put together one before the end of the year. And they may want you to see that. I'll share it to you all if they are ready for that. But this, you know, just it's just been an especially difficult year for people with disabilities. So they've got a lot to say about that. Anyway, yeah.
That is really good to know, and I am looking forward to reading that or hearing it verbally. All right, next we can move to board announcements and input. Do any board members have announcements or input? All right, seeing none, the last thing to do is to adjourn. Our next study session is next Wednesday, October 29th, 5:45 p.m., right here in the Shields Carter Room of the Bennett Administrative Center in Urbana, on immigrant and refugee mental health. We hope that you will attend, and we hope you have a good night. We are adjourned. Record.